Tell me how you love me if I'm in a
Abe said,
with me.
Abe said, Conti needs 60 seconds. All right. So do that for another minute.
If there's some money in it, and I ain't. You dig.
Kind of what. And I mean this with all due respect because.
I shit.
Peak Lil Wayne was amazing.
Oh, yes, he was.
But that's kind of what Lil Wayne sounds like now.
Yeah, Lil Wayne, man.
You I'm see just, the videos, it's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah, man, that serves a.
Yeah, man.
I mean.
It'll get you.
It will, man. I mean, I've never tried it, never been tempted to try it.
I always wanted to.
Really? You want to try that serve?
I did. Always wanted. Never did. Nobody ever had any codeine.
Yeah, man. I asked. I know plenty of people that had it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that never just was. It was never one my thing, man.
You
just want to try it. You want to try that purple drink.
I did. I wanted to try that purple drink.
You want
to
try that purple drink.
One time, and this is a true story. One time when I was producing the morning show in Seattle, I don't know why, but it was purple drink was a big news story for some reason. Mm-hmm. I think a Seahawk player couldn't stop drinking it or something like that and kept testing positive for stuff.
Right.
Does that ring a bell at all?
I know you're talking about.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who it was, but it doesn't matter. But we had Paul Wall on the show as our purple drink expert. Okay. It was one of the greatest interviews we ever did.
Y'all asked Paul Wall about the drink?
Yeah. It was because the host was like, what is it? And I was trying to explain it. And I was like, let me see if I can find someone who can explain it better. And we tracked down Paul Wall, people's champ. And he came on the show, and he did a whole, Purple Drink 101. It was pretty funny.
Y'all found Paul Wall to ask him that question? Well, about ball or nothing?
Huh?
Paul Wall.
People's champ, Paul Wall?
Yes, I know who Paul Wall is.
Why would we ask him about football?
Wasn't it a sports show?
Yeah, but what does he know?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Were they playing Houston or something?
No.
Oh. Did you ask him about the grills?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Grills and Purple Drink.
Grills and Purple Drink.
What, I mean... Why would anyone want to talk about football, Paul Wall?
I don't know. I thought he was like an insider.
No,
insider
he
for
is.
The Texans.
No,
he's purple, the insider purple that drink, purple drink.
It was good. I should have won an award for that. Anyway, Mike Conti joins us now to talk all sorts of different topics. Purple drink, who knows? Mike, how are you?
Man, I needed some purple drink on Saturday night after the Penn State and Atlanta United and all that. Sorry I can't be with you, by the way, guys. I'm downtown getting ready for the Hawks season, meeting with the Hawks today. So that's why I'm on the phone.
We were just talking because we were listening to Caleb's update. Like, damn, they got a game on Monday.
Less than a week.
Like, what happened to training camp? They just go right to games?
It's been a thing, and I think it was done in the last CBA or maybe the CBA before. They really – I mean, it's not like the NFL at all. They do a really, really brief training camp. You know, I think today is their first official kind of practice, if you will. And then, Monday night they jump right into the preseason, and the regular season will start in about 3 weeks. So they don't really mess around. You know, it's such a long season to begin with. It would almost kind of be cruel and unusual to make them do a longer training camp than maybe the bare minimum that's necessary.
Let's just start there since we started there, and then we'll get back to Penn State and talk about the Falcons and all that. But, with the season a week away, I know everyone was impressed by the offseason. The expectations are higher than they've been. Quinn Snyder with some quotes yesterday about not just championship pedigree on the roster, but like a lot of winning pedigree on the roster. I know you're going down to talk with them today and everything, but is the excitement of the offseason seem to be sort of spilling over into this portion, the preseason training camp and all that?
It's interesting. I had a chance to talk to a lot of players one-on-one yesterday. Talked to Trey and Porzingis and Jalen Johnson and Dyson Daniels and got to win. And Nikhil Alexander-Walker, great guy, by the way. Love Nikhil Alexander-Walker. And I think all of them were, really pragmatic with that word expectations, and that's something that I tried to get out of them. You know, is it a good thing to go into a season? Can you embrace the fact that there are high expectations? And I think each of them that I talked to yesterday kind of shied away from, embracing the expectation. I didn't really get that vibe. I think it's more they see it as an affirmation of the talent that they've assembled. And that's one of the things that Kristaps Porzingis told me, the fact that the Hawks have this level of talent, gives him optimism that this is a team that can compete in the same way that that Celtics team he was able to go can compete, which I honestly, that kind of took me back a little bit, that he sees this roster potentially being on that level. So we'll have to see. But I think it's a very pragmatic, very responsible type vibe that they have there right now, where they're going into the season knowing that, yeah, they've assembled a lot of great players for this roster, but you have to go out and do it now. It doesn't really mean anything until you go out and you prove it.
Mike, our very own Caleb Johnson asked Trey about the contract thing. Do you think that it was anywhere near a possibility that he would have gotten an extension this summer, or that you think it was all along they wanted to just wait till after this season?
No, I think it was very possible he would have gotten an extension, but it would not have been a supermax.
Okay.
I mean, I think there was probably a number that the Hawks felt pretty good about, that if Trey was good with that number, they probably would have done it. I mean, there's certainly no harm in trying to lock that up as quickly as you can. It's my gut feeling that they're probably still a little bit apart on the number. And now here we are. And I thought Trey was pretty honest yesterday in answering Caleb's question.
Yeah.
And now I think the thing that you're going to wonder is it going to be a distraction?
Right.
And if they're winning, it won't be. If they're not winning, it probably will be. Winning's going to take care of a lot of things for this team this year, but if they underperform, if they struggle, especially early, I kind of get nervous about, you know, this contract storyline coming back, onto the front page. Hopefully not.
Is it fair to assume that because, you know, like you said, they're probably a little bit of ways right now from agreeing on a number, that if it doesn't get done before the season starts, that's an after the season conversation?
I think that's almost certain.
Okay.
You know, very, very seldom. I think there are examples of something like that happening during a season, but I think it's very, very rare. I would imagine the clock is probably ticking on that. That's kind of how the Hawks have traditionally done business.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you have, I mean, heck, this is, I think now the fourth or fifth different general manager that they've had. This is my 12th season doing their games on the radio. I think this is their fifth different general manager. So they all kind of operate differently. But I think traditionally, yeah, I remember like Dennis Schroeder got an extension the night before the season started. And that's kind of like the self-imposed deadline that they've worked under in the past. So I'd imagine you probably have three more weeks. And then, yeah, this, if it doesn't happen in the next 3 weeks, then this is something that's going to linger. And I didn't really get a sense yesterday that anything was imminent.
Mike, because I know it was a rough weekend, obviously, for your alma mater, Penn State. My question for you is this. What quarterback do you think, if Penn State had, with the talent that was there, would have won that game for you on Saturday?
Now, that's a great question, Randy. And let me take a left turn with that. I think what we have now seen with a large enough sample size, unfortunately, Drew Aller is just not the guy right now that's going to get Penn State to a championship level. And, a lot of people are making this an issue about James Franklin and his record against top 10 teams, which is what it is. But, Aller made a critical mistake at the end of the Orange Bowl last year that cost Penn State a trip to the national championship. He made a catastrophic mistake at the end of the Oregon game last year that cost them a Big Ten championship. He makes another mistake. You know, Penn State had stopped the Oregon two-point conversion. They're in the driver's seat. He makes another mistake. I think the linebacker this time makes a really good play. I don't think it was a god-awful throw by Aller, but it wasn't a good throw. And, these are three losses that I think the Penn State fan base wants to put directly on James Franklin. James Franklin had them in position to win all three of those games. It was the quarterback who went out and didn't execute. Now, the coach does bear a responsibility. You know, in that Orange Bowl, I don't think that, Franklin nor the offensive coordinator, Andy Kolbenicki, had a really good feel for how Drew was struggling throughout that game. So I'm not necessarily wanting to put him in a position to have to make that throw. But this is where Penn State is right now. And it really reminds me a lot, guys, of the Aaron Murray, Mark Richt era at Georgia. Always in position to win the big game, but it always seemed to come down to a coaching error or a quarterback error that would cost them. And that's where Penn State is right now. And look, that's still not a bad place to be. I think a lot of programs around the country would kill to have the opportunity to play in all the big games that Penn State has been playing in. But they're not going to get over the hump unless Drew Aller figures it out really quickly. And I think he's regressing. I think, you know, if you look at him over the last 3 years, I think he's regressed.
Mike Conte joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking Hawks, talking Penn State, obviously, after that tough loss on Saturday night against Oregon. Did want to get a couple Falcons questions in here with you too, Mike. Awesome bounce-back performance after what was a real tough one against Carolina. Let's take just a four-week snapshot, because we got the bye, and it's about a quarter of the way into the season. Offensively and defensively, who's a guy on either side that's impressed you the most?
Well, defensively, I heard you guys talking about it in the last segment. Divine Diablo has just been such a find for them. And, you know, I think Pierce and Walker and the guys that they've drafted, Watts, obviously, they've really stood out in a positive way. But Divine Diablo was a guy that I really have any expectations for, and he's coming. He's played extremely, yeah, extremely well. Great, great find by Terry Fondo. Got to give him credit. Offensively, you know, I'm gonna go way, way off the board here and say Chris Lindstrom. Because I think, you know, obviously you have the concern when Caleb McGarry got hurt. What was this going to look like? And would the Falcons be able to run the ball? Would they be able to protect Penix? And, like, Lindstrom, to me, maybe I was paying too much attention to the offensive line play on Sunday. I thought Lindstrom had one of his best games of his career on Sunday. And, you know, Bijan and Algier have a lot to credit him on, because he was opening up a lot of running lanes for them, I thought. So we take Chris Lindstrom for granted. I think he's someone who's played phenomenally well in the first 4 weeks. And look, you're one poor performance by a kicker away from potentially being 3-1 right now, which far exceeds what I expected in this first quarter of the season. So, all in all, I'll take it. I'll take where the Falcons are right now.
Mike, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Mike.
All right, guys. Take care.
Mike Conte there, 92.9 The Game, boss, but also Hawks and United broadcaster, joins us every Tuesday talking about a whole bunch of different stuff. I found his take on Penn State interesting, just because we've talked to him about Penn State a million times, right? His feeling on James Franklin is pretty clear, right? Yes. I think he thinks he's a good, kind of not great coach.
Yeah.
But he's right. Like, they're closer than they've ever been.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now, nobody wants, like, Penn State fans don't want to hear that.
Right.
Especially not from somebody who's not a Penn State fan.
Mm-hmm.
But they are.
Yes.
They are closer than they've been.
Yes.
His record is 4-21 against top 10 teams, but a lot of those games were blowouts.
Yes.
They're not blowouts anymore. And again, that's cold comfort, whatever, but, like, it's true. Double overtime loss against Oregon is not the same thing as losing by 3 touchdowns to Oregon.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
So, I don't know what all that means or is, well, to say or anything, but, like, they're closer than they were.
I mean, yeah.
The program is still building.
It's still building, but I think they're more closer to the – I don't want to say the finishing product.
Or did the field come back to them?
I think that's more than anything. I go back to what Kirby was saying, like, because everything is so dispersed now. But you would – what was the biggest reason we gave Penn State so much hype or whatever? It's because of everything that was coming back. You got the veteran quarterback. You got the two runners. I know you lost Abdul Carter, but your defense still is top-notch.
Mm-hmm.
You went and took Ohio State's D.C. to come be your D.C. Mm-hmm. So there's so many different things, I think, factors that a lot of people, myself included, were giving Penn State the benefit of the doubt because they did win two playoff games. They were a horrible throw from Allard from damn near probably being in the national championship game. Like, there were, you saw that, but then you were like, okay, he's coming back.
Right.
All this experience, and then, you know, it happens again. But my thing is, because of the 12-team playoff, like, they're still in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why, you know, it's nobody wants their school to lose. But I don't go into panic mode because Georgia just lost to Alabama.
Right.
Because we're still one of the best teams in the country. And we still got a lot of meaningful games, mainly when you got freaking Ole Miss coming here. You got freaking Texas coming here.
Yeah.
And then it was announced yesterday, you got to go to damn Jordan Hare at night.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know strange things happen down there, man.
Strange things happen on the plains, Andy. There's a lot of huge games left on the schedule for all these teams. And again, just like I said about Penn State, no diehard Georgia fan wants to hear a non-Georgia fan. And it's not like make excuses for what happened on Saturday or anything, but say anything other than something extreme. But you guys are fine.
Yeah.
Georgia's fine.
Yeah.
Penn State's fine.
Yeah.
All these teams that are still in the mix, fine. You just got to get there.
Yeah, that's it.
Look what Ohio State did last year.
Yes. Embarrassed.
They weren't even in the Big Ten championship game. Correct. They lost their rivalry game, but they got to the dance. And you know what they did? They went home with the prettiest girl.
Yep. Got her.
You just
got
to get to the dance.
Got her.
Still in it. Still in it. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to NFL No Huddle, kick off the noon hour. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.